What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The other host.
Special guest.
That's me, the other host here on Popcorn Culture.
Special guest.
What's poppin', everybody?
Whoa, hey, now that's you've taken it too far. Unacceptable levels of hostmanship over there.
All I could say, I don't know exactly what the difference between the voting is over on the Patreon, but I can tell you that we, Jazzy J and Buzzy B, are leaving category no host in the dust.
Clean in the dust. It's currently, there is very little to no chance of any episode of Popcorn Culture starting with just a 15 seconds moment of silence.
Just no good. It's not going to happen.
No, it's no way. It's not going to happen.
That said.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. We've been hard at work designing our metal person cards.
Yes, we have.
We
absolutely have. We've been cracking away, trying to incorporate as many inside jokes as we possibly can into...
Possibly.
Well done. Yeah, no, that's a good correction. As we possibly can into what is basically a business card.
Person card.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a business card.
Basically, except it won't include any contact information whatsoever.
Well, no. Why would a person card include contact information?
Well, a person card wouldn't, but a business card probably would.
No, I know. That's why I said it's basically.
Basically.
But in lieu of contact information, it will include inside jokes.
It, for sure, that's going to happen.
Yes.
And just as a reminder, anyone who goes over to patreon.com/popcornculture and joins the glorious Jazzy J team, or Buzzy B, by October 25th, which is Ben's birthday, will receive a person card.
Yes. Literally a stainless steel person card.
Yes.
That will be like laser etched.
Laser etched. It might have like, you know, holes cut through it at certain parts.
It could. I mean, it's going to be a token.
It is going to be, I'm so excited to see what the final product looks like. It's going to be so cool. And as a reminder, if you're already a patron, then you're already getting one. Good news. You didn't have to do anything. You're already getting one.
I know. It's going to be the best. What I'm also hoping happens, because now I really want to go like afterwards and also have individual like business cards made for myself.
So you want regular business cards.
Yes. Yeah, so like with contact information.
Right. When we meet people in person again someday.
Yeah, exactly. Well, eventually, surely that might be a thing. Yeah. Because I feel like once I've possessed the person card, it's going to be like, I'm never going to be able to look at a paper business card the same way ever again.
Right.
I'm going to like, people will like hand it to you and be like, yeah, just like shoot me an email if you ever have any questions. I'm gonna be like, I definitely have no questions.
Here's the thing.
I'm good.
The thing about
paper, I'm good.
The thing about handing someone a metal business card is that there's such little chance of them throwing that away.
Such little chance of them throwing it away, and there's such little chance of it not leaving an impression, because there's no chance you would hand it to somebody and they would just be like, oh, thank you, and like, you know, insert it into their back pocket.
Right. I've got a whole deck of these at my office.
Right, like they are going to be like, is this metal? And you're like, it is. It is in fact metal. Remember me as the guy with the metal business card.
Yeah, and then they're going to be like, do you give these to everyone? And you'll be like,
not everyone.
Wink.
Which is actually the real reason why you carry paper business cards is to pull those out and be like, look, see, I carry these for contacts.
I've been passing these out all day, but
not to you. Right. Yeah. They're really just a prop. I've been carrying the same 25 paper business cards that I got for free from a promotion for years. And yeah, this is the real way to make earnest impact.
Do you remember when you and I had to on the fly have business cards printed?
Yes.
In New York City.
We were in New York City and we were going for a project with Google, which this is like one of those odd things that it seemed like, especially when the channel was growing very rapidly back in like 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
Where it went kind of like from its very humble beginnings to starting to be more of like our jobs.
Yeah.
We got a lot of these opportunities that came out, and one of them was going to New York City where we were going to be explaining, I think, how social media works. Can we say to whom we were explaining it to?
Or? I think so.
Okay.
I don't see why not.
It was the McDonald's company.
Right. McDonald's.
Yeah. So it was, I think like the VP of marketing was in like the meeting with us.
VP of like marketing McDonald's International.
Right. Yeah.
And her team.
And her team, which was like eight people or something.
It was intimidating. And you're at Google already.
Right.
And you're like, oh boy, I feel this is, okay, you guys are, this is intimidating.
It was, yeah. So that was the thing though. So like, you know, we flew into New York City and we get there and we're like, we don't have business cards. Like,
I know.
And it was both of us freaked out over this like shared concern over this moment where in professional business settings, you're supposed to do like the obligatory exchange of business cards. And we were like, we don't have them. What are we going to do?
Well, it was also just, I don't know. There was this sort of fear, like what, you know, ideally you hope to walk away and have left a very good impression on McDonald's,
right?
Or whatever. Like, you know, chances are, and that, you know, maybe they want to work with you in some way.
Right.
Which would be pretty cool.
It would be pretty cool. And yeah, it felt like one of these like odd opportunities. Like you're going to be presenting yourself before people that are like very high up in like a mega corporation. And so there is this sense of like, could our lives change today? Could today be the day where we like look back on it and we're like, wow, if we hadn't had those paper business cards, they never would have called us back.
Yeah. Well, the thing is we already had business cards like made for us, like Super Carlin Brothers business cards that we had both just left at home.
Oh, true. Right. Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. So it wasn't like we hadn't taken this step. It's like we had forgotten them. And we arrive in New York City and we check into our hotel. I think it was the Ace Hotel, I think is what it was called.
You would remember better than me. I don't know. It was cool.
It was cool. We had a partner manager at YouTube. And I guess the way I imagine what happens is they get some supervisor up the chain says, hey, do any of you work with any YouTubers who would be a good fit for this project we have coming? And then they're like, let me pick someone. And then they email you and you're like, yes. And they're like, yes. And then they go and book a bunch of things. And all of a sudden you're on a plane.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I imagine it happens.
I also think that it's like one of the more intro positions that you might have at YouTube is being a partner manager.
For sure it is, because we've been through like five now.
Right. But none of them were as good as our first. Well, no offense to anybody out there, but none of them were as good as our first person who was so good at like sending us places. It was awesome.
Yeah. She was great. Shout out to Shayna if you're still just totally listening.
Leaned into
the Super Carlin Brothers culture still years later. She's still at Google though, because we talked about her to our current manager and they're like, oh, I know her. And we're like, awesome, cool, glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Tell her we said hi.
But yeah, we arrive and, you know, you're, first of all, it's so, you know, we're rarely in New York City.
Right.
So it's sort of cool. And like, what are we going to go do? We're like, we got to get business cards made. So we like walk to various print shops thinking, first, we got to find somewhere that can not only make them, but make them within hours.
Right.
Which doesn't seem like that hard of an ask.
No, not necessarily. And I mean, I would say we achieved this goal in a way that was, I mean, maybe exactly what you might expect. We ended up finding a Staples, right?
I think, yeah, it was a Staples or a FedEx or something.
Okay.
Yeah. And we talked to the guy in the store and he's like, normally it takes like 24 hours. And we're like, we need them in like 4 hours. And they're like, okay. We'll get it done.
Like, no problem.
Yeah. Like, actually, okay. Yeah. So we got our business cards and we totally exchanged them with everybody. Their business cards were pretty cool.
They were incredibly cool.
They were pretty cool.
They were like gold embossed.
Yeah, they
like,
had
the,
yeah.
like the McDonald's arches.
Yeah. Had like gold leafing on it. Pretty cool.
Like a nice cardstock weight to
you
it.
You look like yours were made not this afternoon. Okay. ours are
still hot from where they came off the press.
They never called us though. So
they sure did not. No. This is like one of those things though that I think especially this happened to me a lot, I would say, during the years that I was coming out of college, where I think I felt like every meeting I went into, I kept thinking like, this is going to be one of those meetings that I refer to for the rest of my life as like, I was in the right place at the right time, which like inevitably through the course of people's lives, they will have a story like that. Mm-hmm. Like you will have some type of story somewhere along the way where you were lucky. Like, and that's part of what led you down your path of success, which luck is absolutely an integral part of becoming successful, I think.
Right.
In some way. At some point in time, you're gonna have to get lucky.
Sure.
As well as also work hard.
Yeah. You know,
the big stuff. But so I think that like through this, so this day in particular, I remember thinking that exact thing where I was like, man, like what if we like are in a McDonald's commercial or something like that. Like, also there's a huge part of me that looks back on some moments and I'm like, dream a little bigger. Like
that to me is something I always think about. Like when we started Super Carlin Brothers, the extent to which I could imagine the success was I would be willing to take a pay cut to stop my full-time job and do this. And I'll who knows, maybe in addition to the main video, I'll make like a gaming video once a week.
Right.
And like that, this was like, these were like my highest ambitions.
Reaching for the stars.
I know. It was like, I'll just, you know, not even like, you know, like, not even I plan on this being an improved kind of life. Like, I just won't have to do my regular job anymore. And that'll be such a reward.
Right.
Yeah.
Precisely. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I completely understand where you're at, too, because when we started Super Carlin Brothers and like the amount of time and energy that we were putting into it for the sheer lack of financial return, which I would say at no point in the process for me was like even that was not a goal.
Yeah, well, it was so weird because the whole first year when we were just doing the video every single day, the goal was to finish the goal of like
right, yeah,
one
yeah.
year.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I even for me, like, so this is the other big thing, because like we've told the story of sort of how we came to, you know, create this YouTube channel and everything, and sort of how like it was a project that I know you wanted to do and that I was sort of like doing in exchange for, you know, having a roommate so that I didn't have to go live back at home with mom and dad. But yeah, I think even in my mind, that was like, it was almost like, okay, so if I can finish this year, then
I'm made in the shade.
Then like I've paid my debt, you know, like then like I'm good. I don't have to keep going. And then we did keep going.
We did keep going.
And
yeah.
Look at us now.
Look at us now. We have a podcast.
Yes.
There we go.
Those high ambitions.
Flying high, guys.
Flying high. But yeah, so anyway. No, but going back to that thought, though, of like being in the right place at the right time. I believe that we have had that situation happen before. I think we've talked about it, like with our coffee company,
yeah.
Where that was sort of like, you know, a guy that we were working with through YouTube videos happened to live in the same building as a guy who was also super involved with the world of social media, but also happened to own like a coffee, like a super high-end coffee, like
right.
establishment, which basically like led to connections being made and then a phone call where we were wanting to like start a company of some kind. And, you know, it was sort of like the touches were so minimal,
right?
That like would have led to us starting a coffee company, which ended up being like, it's still like one to me, like one of the cooler things that like we've had the opportunity to do.
Yeah. Carlin Brothers Coffee is one of the cooler things. And we just celebrated our 2-year anniversary on it.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Look at that.
The coffee company, it's so fun. Just the whole way it even got started. Yeah. Like you said, it was, We were working with a manager and he happened to live in the same apartment complex as a guy who used to work for a multi-channel network and now he owned a niche coffee brand in Florida.
Right.
And it was like, wow.
Yeah. No, it's like the smallest of touches, basically. So I feel like so far that's been like one of our really...
That was you were in the right place, right time.
I feel like we were in the right place at the right time.
Right.
Yeah. But like the other funny thing about it, though, is that all of the moments in my life, and this used to happen all the time when I was doing my aquarium company full time, is that I would go and like sit down with just an administrator who ran like a waiting room lobby for a hospital. But like for a company that does aquarium installation and maintenance, you were sort of like, I'm getting in at the hospital. Like,
yeah.
Do you know how many waiting rooms there are in hospitals? Like, you know, there's like these moments where you're like, I was like psyching myself up to go and like, you know, like pitch as if I was pitching like on Shark Tank or something like that, you know?
But also, why not? This is like that episode of The Office where they're trying to get the deal with the phone book company.
It's Yeah.
Does anyone read it? No. Does anyone want it? No. Does it show up at your doorstep twice a year anyway? Yes. And it's like a bazillion pages.
Right.
So if you're the paper company selling to the phone book, great news.
That's a huge sale. Yeah. Exactly. So like, yeah, for me, that was always, I always was expecting those moments where it was like, okay, I finally got in. Unfortunately, this is like one of those things with the aquarium company. Everybody's always like, oh, you do a lot of dentist's office. And it's like, I wish.
You'd think, right?
You would think.
You think?
I haven't been able to crack into the old dental game.
Yeah. As I understand it, dentists, orthodontists, waiting rooms, pretty much mandatory at all these places.
Yeah.
Also, everyone keeps telling me they got all this money. Why aren't they fish tanks?
Why not? I don't know, but it hasn't worked.
But
maybe that's the thing, though. Maybe when you're in the right place at the right time, part of the conditions of it is you can't know that you're in the right place at the right time. Because like whenever I've expected it,
right.
I've always been let down because it meant that I wasn't, in fact, in that position.
Mm.
And then like the coffee company was so like just absurdly random. It was like, how is this happening? Like, I think for a good long period of time, I like was so terrified to get excited about it because it always felt like it was going to be like, it was like how did this happen? Like, it's like, it was something that was not on the table 3 days ago. And now, like, we're planning our trip to Florida to go and curate our coffee
flavor.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, this is like, this doesn't happen. And this happens to me all the time. I have like whiplash with my excitement about anything.
You do.
Yeah.
This is a Ben Carlinism for sure.
Explain it to me as you see it. Because your ability to self-assess is terrible.
So, but basically what is this will happen a lot. I will just be sort of sitting in my computer just working, and then I'll be like, he'll like pick up a marker and go to the whiteboard and be like, okay, I had a thought, and you'll just like start going to town on whatever idea it is. Like, clearly it's been running through your brain for like 24 hours. Everything feels so obvious to you. And meanwhile, I may as well have just stepped in front of a bus, you know?
Yep.
And I am like, what are you talking about right now? It is like, it will catch me so out of left field, and it'll seem so out of nowhere. And like, whatever obstacles immediately pop up in my field of view to whatever you're saying are clearly long in the dust.
Oh yeah.
No matter what. Not a thing. Not a thing.
I'm not the least bit concerned about that. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
I think this is always, and you've actually explained this to me once before, but I come up with like business ideas. I think I've gotten better about this than I used to be. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. I don't know. That could still be terrible, but probably I would say that at least on a week by week basis, I've come up with some type of new like business idea that I need to like tell you about and see if you'd be interested in. And basically for me, I'm just like casting lines over and over and over again. And eventually there will be the one that like sticks with you. And it's like, perfect.
I finally
found the thing.
Here we are.
I'm like a magician who's like, was this your card? Was this your card? Was this your card? it's like the last one on the deck.
You're like, okay.
But eventually I guessed it.
Yeah.
That's how it works, right?
That's not magic.
That's not magic. Well, no, this is the problem I feel like I struggle with myself when it comes to all of these things, though, is that it's almost like I've never had, and this is like, this isn't sad to me for what it's worth, but it might sound sad, but I've never had like this particular lifelong ambition to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used to be super envious of people who like, we've talked about my pilot friend before, who like when I met him in sixth grade, he wanted to be a pilot, and he is now a pilot.
Yeah.
And it's like, and to me, that's like, what a fun, awesome life to like always know what you want to do and then work really hard, achieve that goal, work up the ranks. And like you look back and you're like, wow,
I did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It is interesting. On the flip, I will give you the flip side of that coin is that my wife, very similar situation, like from little girl, always like had planned on becoming a teacher, thoughts of that, you know, that's what I want to do.
Right.
And that's what she always planned on doing. She went to college, she majored in, you know, preliminary education, interdisciplinary studies. Sorry.
Oh, wow. You get it right.
I know. Fancy titles. All right. You know, became a teacher, taught, and that, you know, whole plan accomplished. Did it. Hooray.
Check.
Flip side, though, it was like one of these situations where growing up, I don't think, and she's like talked to me about this, where she didn't feel like she was exposed to a lot of other potential professions. And so when she got to college and, you know, it was well underway to becoming a teacher, you know, she had friends that would be like, oh, I'm doing this or I'm doing that. And I'd be like, how did you even come to this conclusion that that's what you wanted to do? And you like know so much about it already. And, you know, then you get into the real world and all your friends have all these other jobs. You're like, I think she's often wondered to her, like, what if I'd wanted to do something else? Like, could I have, you know, probably I could have just done whatever. I was like, yeah, you probably could have. You had very good grades in everything you ever did. So,
oh yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. You know? I would say for Beth, I mean, no matter what, anything she wanted to do, she could have done.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. But she had like her like career track like laid out before her.
Right. She's like, this is what I'm going
to
do.
To me. Okay. So that's the thing though. To me, that feels like and this is probably a grass is always greener phenomenon, but hey, I said phenomenon. I always say phenomenon. Mm. People talk about it and, you know, they brought it up to me. They're like,
yeah,
you're using it so well. Keep it up.
You use phenomena the appropriate amount.
The appropriate amount. Yeah.
Life is phenomenal.
Life is phenomenal. I've actually noticed that there are people in my life that I realize have started using the word phenomenon. And I'm like, am I rubbing off on people?
Mm.
I think I might be a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, not the point. There is something to me about that's so reassuring about having like this fixture in your life that's like so concrete that you've always known you wanted to do, that you can like that like it's always this like solid base you can come back to.
Yeah.
Versus my very like fragmented weird bridges that are made out of a variety of different materials that I've recently come in contact with and therefore attempted to create a business model around.
Right.
Like that's because that's like the I don't know that's why I'm so dependent on you. It's almost like you're my filter for a good idea, because like I can just keep pitching things.
Right.
And then eventually if you think it's a good idea, then it's like that validation is like, oh wow.
Oh, I see.
And then like I'm immediately like, I'm a genius. I've done it.
Yeah.
It's like I finally can't. So that's basically like why I think, you know, like you're the best mm-hmm. brother for me to have, because eventually you're going to love one of these ideas and then I'm going to be able to just grip onto it and finally have that just security in my mental space that I've needed for my entire life.
Eventually we'll have a nice concrete bridge.
Yeah.
That isn't made out of like noodles or grass or something.
Yeah. Noodles or grass. It's been both. But just be aware of the fact that until you finally agree to this thing, you're the one single-handedly depriving me of that concrete bridge.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No pressure or anything, but like, you know.
Well, for what it's worth, the whole podcast was one of these ideas.
The podcast was one of these ideas. Yeah, this was one where it was kind of like, no, we're going to do it. And actually, I think it was even the, we came up with a name for the podcast on a whiteboard one day.
You have a good name. That really sets so many things in motion.
Well, okay. This is a thing that I have realized so frequently in life. Like when you're pitching something that could be potentially like ambitious to somebody, there is all these hurdles that they see right away. Like all of the potential problems that you need to navigate through. And this is, all right. I feel like there is something to be said where intelligence is not like the most valuable entity that you may have like under your umbrella if you are determined. Like never underestimate someone who is determined to do something.
Right.
Because that determination is usually what knocks down all of those barriers.
Right.
And I feel like more often than not, if I can present like the first 10 barriers knocked down and like hold up, like, look, we're already this far. Like we already have this.
Right.
Then it is always that much easier to get people on board because you've already taken that first big step forward.
Right.
And so in the case of the podcast, I think it was coming up with the name for it. And then all of a sudden it was sort of like, oh, okay. Now we can start like figuring out what everything else looks like as it pertains to popcorn culture, the podcast.
Well, we had like a lot of, you know, immediate infrastructure available for this kind of project as well.
Yes.
Well, I'll throw a hot tip at you.
Hot tip.
Is that I think often when it comes to new ideas, you want to build the infrastructure for everything entirely in-house.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? So like if you came up to me and were like, hey, do you want to start a coffee company? I would have been like, Ben, we have no means to make coffee. We don't know. We know we need like a roaster. We need like a warehouse. We need like all, you know.
Look, you know all these things.
Right now I do. I wouldn't have even known that then.
Sure. Fair enough.
And we're talking to someone who's like, this person has a coffee company. They want to work with you guys to make your own coffee. It's like, this seems, okay, right.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like we can work with other people who've already figured out all the barriers and they can just plow right through them because they've already got the infrastructure in place.
Right.
You know, okay. I feel like sometimes you'll give me an idea and you'll be like, well, it's not going to be that bad. We can probably build a warehouse if we need to.
Yeah.
You know?
And I have talked to warehouse builders before on the phone
at
length. It's always funny too. Like when I just recently talked to a guy on the phone about a warehouse and it was really hilarious because the guy recognized my voice and then realized that he watched Super Carlin Brothers YouTube videos.
Right.
And so I had like my first initial call with him and then he called back and he had like all these questions for me and it was really fun. And I was like, oh, it's going to be so great. We're going to build a warehouse.
Right.
With this guy who watches the channel. We didn't end up doing it, but either way. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I've never been the least bit worried about building the warehouse at all, which we will inevitably need.
For whatever.
Yeah.
See, honestly, I was pulling that example out of like thin air as like an outlandish thing, but like you see what I mean?
Yeah. No, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and it's, I do... It's funny because my wife actually does the exact thing to me that it sounds like I do to you, where very frequently, like, you know, we'll be walking around the house and she'll be like, we could just like take this wall down and then we could do this here and then we'll put in French doors there and then we'll like build the deck off of this. And I'm like, wait, what? Like where it's like we're still trying to finish up this bathroom. Like,
right.
You know, like we're not quite on knocking that wall down yet. And you're absolutely correct where it's like, it'll often also be like, as I'm like throwing on my jacket to like leave the house for work.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not in the same brain space.
Oh, that is, that makes such a difference. Yeah. I think that's just, Beth will also do this to me. Even last night, you know, I think we were just watching, just unwinding for the weekend, watching, I think, Ted Lasso on Apple Plus or whatever. Great show, by the way.
Okay.
I just really enjoy it. I'm like very invested in it. And she's just like, what do you think about this for an ottoman? And I'm just like, what? Like, I'm nowhere near shopping for an ottoman right now. You know, like, it's like, what? Like, no, I can't talk to you about this right now. And you're bothering me because I'm trying to watch the show.
Okay, I do feel like there's maybe a metric to be observed by the kernels at home, that the two examples that we would reach to for me was moving walls and building a deck, and yours is an ottoman.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference in those commitments of decisions maybe might be a measure of even the difference of where our baseline is coming from in terms mm-hmm. of what available change we have.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so.
Was it a cool ottoman?
I mean, it was like quilted. I don't know. I can't even. It had like cushions all the way. It was like circular. Had like cushioning all the way around it.
Oh,
you would like set a tray on it.
Okay. Sounds good for the kids. No hard corners.
I guess so. I'm not against getting a new ottoman or anything. We don't have. Jay, we have a coffee table. This would be like doubling up.
Oh, okay. Like
coffee table / ottoman.
Would it be removing available space for a future beanbag?
There is no available space for a beanbag of any kind in my house.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Just a real quick update. From Emily Chang, we have a great emoji of you sitting in a beanbag chair, not wearing shoes. And from the email, I understand that you're supposed to be wearing the green shirt that you wore all through your Dumbledore's Big Plan.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. So anyway, we'll have that in the show notes for
people who want to check it out.
Yeah. Thank you, Emily Chang, for submitting that.
Yeah. Returning to our own notes for the show, I think we have bypassed a corny joke.
We have, absolutely. Which
Let's
was
get
also
it. Half an hour in.
Half an hour in. Okay. Which I like this because this was actually submitted by through the email by C.
Oh, by C.
So thank you, C. Jay, what do you call a puddle with feet?
I don't know. What do you call a puddle with feet?
Standing water.
Standing. Oh, I get it.
Ah, I get it.
Yeah, standing water.
I found this one in particular adorable just because the idea of a puddle with feet just seems like so cute. I imagined it as like a little cartoon drawing of like a puddle with eyes and then just like two like little like socks coming off the bottom of it.
Yeah.
So it's like a puddle with feet.
That's hilarious.
We'll name him Puddles.
I'm like, why is he called Puddles? Oh, because he's a puddle.
Oh, because
I get it.
It's not that a reach, really. Yeah. It makes almost instant sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sense. I was this past weekend. It was raining, and my son Luke has been enthralled with this new game he came up with.
Oh boy!
It's called "Put Leaves in a Bucket and Throw Them Off the Deck."
It sounds complicated.
It's exactly what it sounds like. But I kid you not, he spent like almost two full days just walking down to the yard, putting leaves in a bucket, bringing them to the top of the deck, and then one at a time dropping them through the bars of the deck, and being like, "Where's it gonna land?"
Well, I mean, based on gravity and all of the different wind ratios involved, it seems like there are numerous available options.
There were basically three real options. One was in the grass, two was in the mulch, and three was under the deck.
Oh, what was winning?
Mostly mulch.
Mulch, okay.
Mostly mulch.
Okay, that's the target.
But I don't know if it was the target, but, you know, he was enjoying this immensely. He calls the, you know, it's funny when little kids don't quite have the delineation between very similar things. So he calls the ground, the grass, the floor.
Okay.
So he's like, I want to put leaves on the floor. I'm like, let's go do it.
We can spend time putting leaves on the floor.
Yeah. But so one day it was like last Friday, it was just pouring rain all day. You know, a big deterrent from playing leaves on the floor.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So fortunately, we had like a little rain jacket for him and some boots, which thankfully still fit because they were supposed to be for winter in case it snowed last year, which it didn't, but they still fit. So we just like loaded up on rain gear and went outside and played in the rain. And Luke found some puddles to jump in.
Did he like jumping in the puddles?
He liked jumping in the puddles. But this was a great experience because to me, like personally, I really like it. I really like rain.
Me too.
You know, yeah, like I enjoy the, you know, just like the sound. But for some reason, I'm always like, on the flip side, there are situations where it's raining and I'm like, oh, and I don't really, like, oh, I have to go check the mail. You know, I'm going to get wet.
Oh.
This is, you know, like, but also I always want to have like a good reason to be in the rain where it's not inconveniencing me. Like I want to have a convenient excuse to be in the rain where it won't bother me that I'm getting wet.
Can you give me an example of something that would be being in the rain where it's not a problem?
No, I can't.
Oh, okay.
This is the problem. It's like I had this very like romantic vision of the rain.
Yeah.
Like it's fun to be in the rain. Like I want to be in the rain, but like it's more often than not of like it's a hassle to be in the rain. It's a problem because you're getting wet.
Right. So like, yeah. I don't know. When I was a kid, I remember there was a handful of occasions where I would do this thing where, and this was probably under 8 years old, but dad had this very large, just like yellow poncho that lived like in our coat closet. And every once in a while when it rained, I would literally just take the poncho out into our like front sidewalk in our front yard and just like sit on the sidewalk and like be so in love with the fact that I was outside in the rain and getting like to listen to like the pitter patter on the, like the poncho.
Yeah.
But like I was protected from the rain.
Right.
So I think that's always been like my obsession with the rain is like this idea of getting to be out in it, but also like simultaneously like protected from it.
Right. Like I love it when it rains, when you're camping, when you've got like the rain fly. It's like, what are the odds? We were out here and I get to like use the rain fly. And it's like, yeah, you can hear that like pitter patter and it just seems cool.
That is like literally my happy place.
Yeah.
Like what you just described, like at night, like if I'm having like trouble sleeping or something, I will literally lay in bed imagining being in my sleeping bag in a tent where it's just like monsooning outside, but you're just like listening to the rain fall on the tent.
Right.
That's like the happy place I go to.
Exactly. It's very nice feeling. But the reality is most often it's like, oh, I just put up at the grocery store and it's pouring rain. And now it's like, now I'm going to have to be grocery shopping, soaking wet. Or I'm like more recently, maybe like I'm walking with the kids in a stroller and it's like, oh no, I'm about to have to push this thing at, you know, mock speed back to the house. So everyone's not soaking.
Right. I wonder if this is maybe something you have to like let go of. It's like part of the process of becoming an adult. Is that rain is now inconvenient.
It is, but there's like, so this is why this past weekend was so nice. Cause I was like, you know what? I'm going to go outside and we're just going to play in the rain. And the novelty is going to be, it doesn't matter what we're doing. The novelty is that it's raining.
Yeah.
And so this was a very good, like fulfilling like moment for me. Like I was like, I'm getting to play with my son and I'm getting to be in the rain for this like very like good reason.
Right.
And it's like where the point is to be in the rain. It's like, yes, oh, this is what I've been like hoping for. It's like, because anytime it rains, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad it's raining. I can like, what am I going to do? Just get, you know, I'm not just going to stand in the rain.
See, that's the thing. Yeah. For me, I always, yeah, I think like I would love to go, like if it's raining, I feel like sometimes I'm almost encouraged to go for a run.
Because running would be good.
Because like, there's almost this sort of like rather epic feeling of like being out there facing the elements in this way.
That was always like if it was a cross, or I always loved it when, yeah, if it was cross country practice and it was raining out and it was like, we're just running in the rain today. It's like, it was sort of fun now.
Yeah.
Or if you were, you know, playing in a soccer game and it was pouring during the game. I was like, yeah, we're playing in the elements. Yeah.
Right.
Really cool.
That's another one of those things I've thought about before. Like I remember rec league soccer when, again, probably under 10 years old. And there were days like where, I mean, it was like sheets of rain coming out of the sky. Like, I mean, torrential downpours. And I'm like, why didn't they just cancel the game? Like, I can't believe they had us out there. Like, I mean, I'm so glad they did because I loved it. And it did feel like this is going to, like, if we win tonight, this is going to be like the most epic of circumstances. And,
yeah.
Like there were like moments where I feel like I would like turn my head, like almost like in a slow motion way, like taking in the field, like absorbing every ounce of like the detail that like had to be, you know, surrounding me.
Yeah.
And I don't know, probably in hindsight, it wasn't, I don't know. I have no idea that I can like literally go back to individual moments in the rain and like, yeah, take in the exact emotion I was feeling at that point in time.
Mm.
And I'm not sure why.
Rain is cool. But see, I imagine now, see, you're at the point in your life though, where if I had to take Luke to a soccer game and I'm just sitting on the sideline and it's pouring rain, this is now terrible.
Yeah, no, you know absolutely. I mean? Like, right.
Oh boy.
But it's probably going to happen.
It's probably going to happen. And who knows? Maybe I'll just be like, yeah, it's raining. Awesome.
Look at Luke go. Oh my gosh.
Dude. No, I don't, just not very hard left turn or anything, but he's just been dribbling this like basketball we have, like it's a soccer ball around in our backyard. I'm like, I cannot believe how good you are at dribbling a ball right now at 2 years old.
Oh,
because like I think back, like I played soccer my whole life, but I also remember learning what soccer was, and I was in first grade. You know, like
sure,
like but I don't think I had practiced kicking a ball in any fashion
prior to then.
Other than knowing that like balls were like kicking something you could do to a ball, but it wasn't, there was, I didn't know there was a sport around it or there was skill to it. It was just, you could kick a ball. This is like, you can already dribble.
No, there's no doubt about it. Luke is going to be massively athletic.
I think
the kid can also already throw a frisbee.
Yeah.
Which that was like something that took me until, well, I remember, I'm sure you do too, cross country camp one year.
Yeah.
They had this intense, like, well, I don't even know why I thought it was so intense. I did though.
Yeah.
Ultimate frisbee tournament that would do. And the thing about it was, like, it became this massively, like, competitive annual tradition that you did at cross country camp against all the other cross country teams that were there, because you're dealing with groups of people that can all run.
Yeah. Forever.
Like, forever.
Yeah.
And so the games were just so competitive.
They were.
And, but I remember, like, getting to cross country camp and being like, freaking out a little bit because I didn't know how to throw a frisbee. And it was like, I'm like, at this point, I don't even know, 15.
Yeah.
And it's like, I should know how to throw a frisbee by now. Like, I'm definitely of age,
right,
where this should be like in my wheelhouse.
Yeah. Somewhere in your life, this should have come up.
Yeah. And this is like, it's happened to me on so many different occasions where it's like, not until I absolutely needed to know how to do it, would I learn how to do something. And that was throwing a frisbee. And I remember, like, we were like all practicing in this like parking lot before the big game. And like it finally came to me and I was like, throw the disc, and it came out perfect. And I was like, what?
Oh, I just got it.
It was like, how did this happen? I don't even know. It feels like divine intervention or something. Like,
yeah,
like something just hit me. And I now know how to throw a frisbee.
There is something about, throwing a frisbee where, like, all of a sudden you understand. Like, it's like there is something that has to click, I think.
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden you understand, like, how the spinning is affecting the air and how the flatness of the frisbee, like, effect, and like how much you're spinning it in your hand and like why holding it certain way. Like, all of a sudden, like, I feel like you can very quickly go from barely being able to throw a frisbee that doesn't like immediately sail in a big arc and roll 20 feet to like understanding five ways to throw a frisbee very quickly.
All at once.
All at once. Like, once it clicks, you're like, oh, okay. It doesn't matter which way my hand is, as long as the frisbee is doing this particular motion, it'll go.
Yep.
And you're like, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Had the same experience throwing frisbee, not something I could do as a kid.
No, not at all. And then it all just sort of came together, came into focus.
Yeah.
Very exciting. And that same night, I remember there was this moment, like, I feel like you and I can jump reasonably high.
It's been a very unusual blessing we've been gifted with.
Yes. Yeah. And there was this, like, in this particular frisbee match, like on in the stadium, you know, like you're like on like a turf stadium, which also I think thought was like, you never get to be here. This is so cool.
You're at App State. You're on the turf. You're in the middle of the track. You're like on a football field.
Yeah. And they're like one of the most like the coolest moments of my life that I wish that there was just this like incredible picture of.
Yeah.
But I mean, the frisbee was thrown, had to be 6 feet over my head.
Had to be.
And Jay, I mean, I mean to tell you that I
jumped. If it was six, it was 15.
Exactly. I mean, I jumped. And like, I mean, I'm like feet upon feet off the ground, arm fully outstretched to the back.
Yeah.
Can't believe I caught it.
You look like the guy on the frisbee.
The guy, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that they didn't actually print the guy on the frisbee until after this happened.
Yeah.
And a bystander was like a cartoonist.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately upon seeing it, didn't photograph it, drew it. Sent it to the frisbee company, where they then inserted me onto the front face of all frisbees.
Yeah.
Then after and always before.
it was a portal in time.
It was a portal in time. And so I'm like in the air, arm fully outstretched, land. I mean, I think like, you know, clean on my back. And it's like one of these moments where it should have knocked the wind out of me, but it didn't.
You just got right back up.
Got right back up. And it was just, I don't know. It was incredible. One of the, like, it's like, and I'm
was it raining?
I wish. If only. Maybe it was a little bit.
Maybe it was probably
sprinkling.
And now that I think about it, there was a bolt of lightning in the sky.
Did they include that in the picture? They should have.
But of course, if it's lightning, probably go inside. Probably,
15 minutes. Break.
Yeah, break. That was the word. You're at the pool, and it's clearly just going to thunderstorm for hours. And they're like, the lifeguard hears a moment of thunder, and they're like, 15 minutes out of the pool. And you're just like counting down, like, has it been 15 minutes? Has it been? Oh my God. And it's like the sky is still horribly gray. 15 minutes. I know that's the rule, but probably still not safe.
Yeah. No, it's like one of those things where it's almost hilarious to me that the lifeguards would even abide. It's almost like because they've determined this 15 minute rule that like every single time it thunders, it's like all of us are like, okay, 15 minutes starts over again. Let's sit here staring at our watches.
Yeah.
We're almost there. Brian, you ready to get back in the pool? Because we're at 14:30 right now, and I haven't heard a peep.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, Brian was the lifeguard.
Yeah,
I don't know if you remember.
Sure, I remember Brian.
Yeah,
Slash swim coach.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
I remember. You were there.
I was there. Yeah. I didn't wake up at 8 in the summer and go to freezing cold swim practice every day. It was a blast.
It was not a blast. It was one of my least favorite things we ever did.
It was cold.
Yeah, of all the sports we ever did, I feel like so many of them, I was always fearful to do. This actually is true about me to this day.
Yeah.
Like, I remember you and Beth started rock climbing, and you were like, you got to come rock climbing. And I was like petrified to go. And then ultimately I ended up going and like became like obsessed with it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been the case for just about any activity I've ever done ever, because I hate the unknown more than, I don't know, anything. And when it came to swim team, I never got over it. Every single day I had to go to swim practice was exactly the same. It was like, I had to like work up my courage all over again. I was going to get there. I was going to be the worst. I wasn't going to be able to breathe. What if I drowned? Like, I was always terrified of like the same things every single time I had to go.
It sounds like you are describing exactly the same sort of like nervous anxiety I had about mountain biking for just like years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh man. Did mom make you do it every summer?
No, she didn't. But it was like when people asked me to go, it was like, it was like very anxious.
Yeah. You know? It's like a full body response.
Yeah. And it was just because I had like we talked about it in the last pop. I had just like these several experiences, and it just seemed like every single time it was just like, things are just going wrong. It's like, you would imagine it's going to be this bad, and then you'd get there and it would be that bad and worse.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You'd be like, this is, So
that being said, this past weekend, despite copious amounts of rain, we ended up hitting the trails.
We sure did.
On Saturday morning, you and Dad and me.
Yes, we did hit the trails eventually.
Eventually, despite the fact that there were like honestly, for this to be like your first ride on your brand new mountain bike, I was like, I cannot believe the number of obstacles that have arisen. That was that spurring any of your anxiety? Like, were you like, was it like, I'm almost there, I can almost do it, I can almost face my fear? But I wasn't
honestly, all of that had been conquered long ahead of time. I wasn't worried or concerned at all. Yeah, I was almost just like, I don't know. I don't know what has shifted, but I just had like great confidence about it.
Love it. Okay.
But yeah, we did. It was quite a morning. Dad was supposed to pick me up at 9 because he has like the bike rack on his car. And I got a call from him at like 9:15. He's like, oh, I'm going to be a little late picking you up. We've got people here working on the fence in our backyard. And one of them was just bitten by a copperhead snake. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Just take your time.
Right.
That's fine. What?
Like a copper, like, and again, like our parents' house is like it's like on a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not like thick wilderness necessarily.
Not in particular. No.
So it's not exactly where you might expect to run into a copperhead.
Yeah.
But I guess.
Certainly growing up, we never saw like any snakes.
No,
in our house.
None. Yeah. And so, yeah, no, pretty shocking. So we get delayed on that front.
Yeah.
And
the guy's okay.
Totally
in case
fine.
Anyone's wondering.
Yeah.
He's fine. He was back at work the next day.
Yeah, perfect. But so then we like get out to the trails, which are, I mean, they're kind of far away. Like it's not terrible, but maybe like a 25 minute drive or something like that.
Yeah.
So like we get out there, we're all like, you know, loading up our gear. We're getting ready to like, you know, get off. And you have to ride a mile down a paved road before you actually hit like the trailhead.
Yes.
So we get down there and we're like, we're just crossed over the threshold, maybe like half a mile down or something. And Dad just gets a straight up flat tire.
Straight up.
Like, and we have what's called tubeless tires, which means that there's no like inner tube inside of the rim.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, there's like a, almost like a
goop.
A goop.
Yeah.
If you will. Yeah. Almost like fix a flat. Like if you ever had like a flat tire in your car and you like injected it and just like refilled it and like sort of fills in the gaps. It's like that, except you use it all the time. That's like how it functions.
Right.
In order to save weight. And, so he gets like a hole literally in the tire itself. And just by sheer luck, I just brought a second bike with us. So I ride back to the parking lot, get the car. At this point in time, you've really not even touched a single trail yet.
Yeah. So yeah, you, like you said, there's like a mile of paved road. Then you get to probably like, you have to do maybe another mile or so on gravel road, but at least you're in the woods now.
Yes.
And you can kind of feel like we're off road. So yeah, we're maybe half a mile into the gravel road and Dad gets the flat.
Right.
And the thing about tubeless, the other advantage, not only is it weight, but you're supposed to, if you carry the goop with you, then all you really should have to do, in theory, is spray the goop inside the tire where the flat is.
And refill.
Wait for it to set, pump it up again, and you should be good to go.
Right.
Like, that's how it's supposed to be easy. But even as we were driving out there, like, Dad, you know, he was asking me what kind of tires I had. And he's like, yeah, he was trying to tell me stuff that I should, you know, maybe invest in, like, bringing with me when I'm on the trails and stuff. He's like, I always carry a tube with, I have tubeless tires, but I carry a tube because I've never had to change it. And I'm like, you can always put a tube in even if you need to have a tubeless tire. And I'm like,
sure.
I'm like, I don't think you fully adopted tubeless life yet, Dad. But
sure. Well, he's been a cyclist for well before then. So it makes sense that he would still reside in the territory of like, you still got to have that backup plan.
You got to have that backup tube. Which if so... Then naturally he does get the flat and he does have the tube, but he doesn't then have the tools to also replace it. And you know, you're sitting in the woods and fortunately, yes, you had the other bike. So you have to bike back to the car and
bring the car back down to pick up you guys.
Pick us up. So about an hour into our ride, we're back at the parking lot where we started.
Yep.
And we have to bike back to the front of the trails again. And I think for what should have been a ride started at about 9:15, we, I think, started at 11:45.
Yeah, so something like that.
We were a little delayed.
Yep. But then we got out there and you did absolutely incredible.
It was great. Yeah. It was super fun. Had a blast. The bike works great.
Oh, so exciting.
Yeah. It was a really good time.
So for the folks at home, be prepared for all sorts of great mountain bike adventures. Starting with, I saw a coyote.
Yeah, Ben saw a coyote.
Which I think you suggested this idea, and I'm sort of loving it.
Yeah.
It becoming my signet.
Your signet?
Yeah.
Like on The Mandalorian?
Like on The Mandalorian, yeah. So like Ben the coyote, Carlin.
I thought you were, so on the pop, you were Ben the lion, Carlin, earlier. Are you switching to Ben the coyote, Carlin?
I think I'm going to have to. Okay. I'm going to have to, yeah. Because I keep running into coyotes.
Right. They're drawn to you.
I say that, but it's happened 3 times over the course of like 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I mean,
more than
still,
me.
It's like, it's up there.
Yeah.
And it was like right in the middle of the path too. I like locked eyes with it and I was like, hi, coyote. And it was so weird because it's like, they can be a little bit dangerous to run into.
Sure.
And if anything, I was just pure excited. I was like, whoa.
Right.
Like, that's so cool. Like I biked right at it.
Like, let's go.
Yeah. So apparently it's like coyote runs in my veins.
There you go.
Clearly. But yeah, so prior to this though, there were 2 other occasions. So I see the coyote, you know, in the middle of the trail, number 3.
Yeah.
Number 2, I'm playing laser tag at Alice's like family property, which is like it is out in the wilderness. It's like, you know, 5 acres of land or whatever. And we had like rented this set of like outdoor use laser tags, like where everybody has like a vest and, you know, the guns and stuff like that. And you run through the woods. And I'm like literally like crouched behind this tree when a coyote just goes ripping past me.
Whew.
Like I can like feel the air.
Oh gosh.
Like, it was that close to me. I was like, oh my gosh. So
that's scarier.
That was scarier. That was scarier. And so, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, that was intense. And then prior to that, so far we've got mountain biking and laser tag.
Yeah.
Prior to that is maybe a combination of the two. We have a friend who owned a huge parcel of land in like sort of like rural Virginia somewhere. This is the only time I've ever gone hunting in my entire life. Mm-hmm. We were completely skunked. But I remember walking, you know, like along what I now realize was a game path, which is basically like, you know, the paths that the
animals have made.
That the animals have made. Yeah, just out in the middle of this like raw wilderness. And I'm like walking along this path. And I'm like, wow, I can't believe there's a path out here. And I look up and staring right back at me is a coyote. And in this particular occasion, I literally like, and of course we're all like walking through the woods trying to be like, you know, deadly silent, like trying to look for squirrels, which there were none.
Oh
like,
yeah.
No squirrels whatsoever.
No squirrels.
I was like, what is the deal with this woods? Like no squirrels. But anyway, so I immediately, you know, we're all like treading very light, like these like careful steps. I'm just, I turn around and I'm sprinting away from this thing. Like I like maximum capacity, just pure terror. And so that was coyote number one.
Okay.
So clearly through my years, I've adopted.
It seems like the less armed you've been, the braver you've been about the coyote.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it was because like there was a sense like I'm not supposed to be in opposition with the coyote.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm supposed to be one with the coyote.
Right. You're supposed to be one.
Yeah. And that's why the less armed you are, the more comfortable you would be. Because then you are like, we're here to be friends.
Exactly. So now you just need to run into one just walking on foot, not even on bike.
I think that would probably
just, that'd be pretty scary too.
It would probably scare me to death. I think that coyotes are supposed to be, I'm not speaking.
Scavengers, right?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay. I believe that they're it should not be advised to approach.
Yeah, I don't think you should approach any wild animal that is roughly dog-sized or bigger that has sharp teeth.
That's the official stance.
That's the official stance of popcorn culture. I am not, yes, despite your kinship with the coyotes, I do not.
It's symbolic.
It's symbolic. You do not have my support to approach a wild coyote.
That would be that. As always, we come up with so many great t-shirt ideas. You do not have my support to approach a wild coyote. Great t-shirt idea.
Put that on a t-shirt right now, man. People, everyone can agree on that. That's a stance we can all take, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, No, this actually will fold in nicely. So now, yeah, maybe that'll be my new back tat idea. We've talked before. If you were to get a full back tat, what would you get? For me, apparently, it's going to be a very, very, very detailed coyote.
Yeah. Are you going to be like three coyote moon back there? Or
three coyote moon? Yeah. I think, isn't it normally wolves?
Three wolf moon. That's the famous t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see. So, but I could go three coyote moon.
You could.
I have seen three.
Yeah.
Should I incorporate the ideals of squirrel hunting, laser tag, and mountain biking into my design? So
like coyote number one has like a squirrel on its back, and coyote number two has like laser eyes, and coyote number three has got like what could we do for a bike? Like a helmet on.
A bike helmet.
He's got a bike helmet
on a coyote.
On a coyote.
I like the laser eyes the best. I just imagine it just sort of like shooting off into like potentially at the moon, near the moon.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Laser eyes coyote. Oh man.
Sounds good.
So I've got mine settled. What do you think you would do?
Oh, for my full back tat?
For your full back tat. First up, so for clarity, neither of us have tattoos.
Of any kind. I don't think we have talked about this on the pop.
We have not?
Okay. Not back tats anyway.
Okay, good. That's perfect. That means we're wide open to have full discussion about tats.
Okay.
This is, I don't know. I feel like I've said these words before. Maybe not. I've always wanted a tattoo, with the problem being that like nothing has ever felt special enough to like garner permanent existence, you know, on my person.
Yeah.
Other than three coyotes and a moon.
Of course.
I mean, that's, you know, I'm like 3 days into this idea and I'm already loving it.
Right.
So, that feels like an obvious selection that will age very nicely.
Yeah. So you want a tattoo, but you're not even thinking like, but your question is full back.
Full back, yeah. I mean, yeah. Because if you're going to commit, you may as well commit. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if that's the situation we're in, but...
Okay, fine. We can narrow it down to just tat of any kind in any location.
Man, it's a good question. People, of course, I don't... Yeah, you know, everyone gets asked this, I think, at some point.
Yeah.
I don't have a good answer for you. I don't know what I would want.
Would you even want a tattoo, or would it just feel like...
I don't know. I don't even know if I'm particularly, like, interested in getting one.
Okay.
I mean... If there was something in particular, like very special I wanted to commemorate, I could, I'm not opposed to it.
Okay.
Or anything. Nothing off the top of my head. When you say full back tattoo, I'm always reminded of this particular story, though. I'm sure you will remember from when we went skiing one time.
Oh, I do know what story you're talking about.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh. This was, I've never met like a more aloof person, but you and I were trying to go skiing, I think over what Labor Day, what day is it?
President's Day?
President's Day. That's,
or MLK.
I think it's MLK.
There are two typically large like ski week, holiday weekends,
yeah,
because they happen in the winter and they are typical like 3 day weekends where people can go and take the long weekend to go.
Right. So we had sort of planned on going skiing for this 3 day weekend, and it's like the Thursday before the Friday where you'd go for the weekend. And we're like, we should probably book a place.
Yeah.
And wow, let me tell you, when it's too late to book a 3 day weekend on a holiday for a ski resort.
The day before.
It's the day before. So the whole mountain is entirely sold out. And I at work happened to bring up the fact that I was lamenting we can't go because there's nothing available. And someone who was on the conference call I was on was like, oh, guess what? I'm going to snowshoe with a group of 20 people from college, and we've got room in our house if you want to crash with us. And I was like, sold!
Which to this day, I'm still like floored by.
Well, I'm sort of, yeah, I can't believe, I'm floored at the coincidence that it happened. I'm also sort of floored that we were just like, that sounds great.
I think,
because, I mean, nothing better than spending three days with a huge group of strangers.
This is like almost the evolution of the sleepover. Like, once upon a time in my life, there was no circumstance where a sleepover wasn't 100% worth it.
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh, I don't have a change of clothes for the morning or a toothbrush, and I'm going to have to sleep on a concrete floor with nothing more than, you know, like a pillow from the couch nearby. But yeah, I'm definitely down.
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
You know, like, you have a towel I could use as a blanket? Like, I'll make do. I'll sleep on the floor.
Yeah.
Now it's like, it could be 3 o'clock in the morning and I could be like half asleep on the couch and still be like, no, I'm going home no matter what.
This is...
I am sleeping in my own bed.
Right.
Yes.
This is the act of growing up.
Exactly. So now the idea of going with 20 complete random strangers and staying with them would be like, there's no way.
There's no chance.
As far as I'd be concerned, there was no options available.
Right. Yeah.
But at this time, we're like definitely in.
Yeah. They're like, in our minds, we'll just crash. They said they've got like some couches we'll probably have to sleep on. No, we'll just sleep. It's two nights.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just sleeping.
We'll be on the mountain most of the day.
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. You rationalized like, we'll just get up. We'll be on the mountain most of the day anyway. Like, we're not even gonna have to deal with whatever. Oh. Just not the case at all.
No.
Not the case at all. First of all, I had never even, the conference call I was on with this girl, it was a video conference call, but there's normally two people from each office and they always point the camera at just like one person or no one. It's just like on.
Right.
This is before video conferencing was like super pop, pre-Zoom days for sure.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. So I had like heard her voice, didn't even know what she looked like, but had been on several calls with her.
Okay.
So I arrived at the house and I'm like, I'm going to have to figure out who I was even talking to. Don't even know. Fortunately, they like greeted us. Other I was like, okay, cool. You're the one person I know here. And as we arrive at the house, they are like exiting the house.
Yes.
They're like going to a bar and to go see, I think it was like something like Kid Rock cover band or something.
That's exactly what it was. Kid Rock cover band.
So we arrive there and we've sort of been driving around semi in the dark because of course you have, you know, they gave us GPS stuff, but once you're on the mountain, that's out the window.
Oh yeah. There's no service at all.
It's already snowing hard. The roads are just covered in snow. It's dark. We have a vague idea where we're supposed to be. Fortunately, we find it. The moment we get there, before we even like put our stuff down, our lone contact, who's already looking pretty libaceous, is on her way out the door. It's like, okay, hi, and we're like, we don't particularly want to go to the bar because we just got there.
Right.
But this is the only person we know, so we're like, yeah, I guess we have to go.
So we're going
to
go check out this Kid Rock cover band. This is our host,
so we're going to go check out this Kid Rock cover band. We're going to go back tattoos eventually, I promise. We get to the bar, and said friend has forgotten their ID, so they're not allowed in.
Right. I forgot about that. Yeah. So all of a sudden, the only person we barely know is literally unable to go in and be a part of the thing.
Right. Yes. Now, as the situation were, though, it wasn't like some narrow passage where you had to like check with like the person checking IDs.
Right.
And, you know, they are old enough to be there. They just don't have their ID to prove it.
Right.
So, and we got through first. So we're like looking around like, where's my friend? And then like, you can see them sort of standing just like sort of behind this invisible line. Like, what's the problem? Like, I forgot my ID. And I remember just being like, what? And just sort of like pushing them and like walking with them and talking like, look, you're in. Okay, then I'll go. And
Right.
So we sneak her in. Sneak, whatever. Obviously, she was allowed to be there.
Right.
Age-wise, not identification-wise.
Right. Yeah. Good clarification.
Yeah. So then we go to grab a brew and we come back. Well, our deceit was short-lived because immediately there. Pretty quickly, whoever the bouncer was turns around and is like, hey, you're not supposed to be there. She gets just kicked out while we're at the bar.
Right.
Yeah. And we're like, oh, gosh, guess we should go catch a bus and go back to the house. And in the like 30 seconds that all this happens, she has been kicked out of the bar, got on a bus and left.
Like, yeah. It was like instant.
Like, it was like instantaneous. So now you and I are just stranded at this bar with people we don't know. Not even sure what bus to get on to go back to the place.
Yep.
And the lone person we know isn't allowed into where we are. And it's just unbelievable.
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 And they ended up singing karaoke at 4 a.m.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This was, I mean, just imagine you have a super close group of friends and you're all getting to see each other for the first time since you graduated college, like 4 months later. Of course, it's inside jokes abound. It's an absolute party for everyone. They're loving it and they should be. Good for them. But
we are such outsiders.
We are so fish out of water. Like, there's no incentive to get to know us. You're never going to see us again.
Yep.
Like, no one cares. We're just extra people someone invited.
whatever.
Yeah, I remember them walking around at 4 in the morning singing karaoke up and down the stairs on this 3-level house.
Yep.
Yeah.
While we're trying to sleep on our couches.
We're trying to sleep on our couches, not getting sleep. Horrible, horrible experience in that regard. But anyway, one of the people in this house, while we're on the bus one day, you can tell he's just like dying to show this off to people.
Right.
But he's like showing us his full back tat, which was I want to say like a mural of the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
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 Is that the best way to describe it? Had like, you know, Dorothy, Tin Man, Lion, all that.
Very detailed thing. Color.
And just like, man, how'd you decide to do that? And he's like, well, I had a friend who was just wanting to get into tattoos, so I just donated them my back. Just like, you're saying it so nonchalant. It's like you've practiced how nonchalant to be about this.
You're so right.
Yes.
That is the best way to describe the way that this guy was being absurdly chill about the fact that his entire back
had become the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
So his friend could practice tattoos. It was like, you... Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember being like, dude, it's okay to be like a little proud of it or whatever.
Sure.
Like, you don't have to, like, this is like a calculated presentation.
Okay.
Giving.
Here's a question though. Because do you think that people have a hard time being proud of things that they're proud of? Like, it's like, you don't, it actually is. Like, it's easy to like have our observations about this particular individual in the way that he was going about it, because the manner in which it was such an extreme thing.
Yeah.
But like, there is a very difficult line to walk where you are able to be ridiculously proud about something without like being braggish or gloating about it.
Yeah.
Or otherwise coming across as what is overly aloof, where everybody involved is extremely aware of the fact that this is something to be proud of.
Right.
It's like, it's almost like you don't want to play something too cool, because then it also just seems like, this is my new Ferrari. It's like, you need to be more excited about it than that, but not like to the point of, this is my new Ferrari.
Right.
It's like, what is that weird line to like stand on?
Yeah.
And it hadn't occurred to me until this very conversation about how difficult it can be to be proud of something without... Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sure this guy was very proud of the fact that he donated his back to someone to practice their Wizard of Oz tattoo on.
Yeah.
Despite, yeah. I think he even said he'd never even seen the movie or something.
That is true. Yeah. He said that he had never seen the movie, which I think was like, that is absurd and ridiculous. And like, after getting the back tat, you should have gone and watched the movie like 400 times and read the Wikipedia page on it, because there, you can't be that committed to it without being
It's now become part of your person in a very permanent way.
You're right. Yeah. His aloofness did extend to the fact that he had not seen The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Yeah. That made it go too far.
I agree. Well, who knows? Maybe. I bet, you know, the thing is, if someone listening knows someone with a Wizard of Oz full back tat, it's probably this person.
It probably is.
Yeah.
Yeah. We probably just zeroed in.
Probably. You're like, I know him. Wait a minute.
Right.
So anyway, there you go.
Although so far,
us from that ski trip, dude?
Although, to be fair, we tried to track down the girl who fell into the water with all the carp.
Yeah.
We have not found her yet.
Well, that's a little, maybe something you would keep under. Maybe she's repressed that.
Oh, no. It didn't even occur to me.
Yeah. She's like, who knows? Maybe it probably doesn't come up as much as your giant full Wizard of Oz back tat.
That's a good point. You probably don't show off the fact that you fell into a giant pool of carp in the same way you might your entire back dedicated to a movie you've never seen.
Maybe I should have 3 carp moon.
Yes. 3 carp moon.
Yeah.
To go with my 3 coyote moon.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
There we go.
We're going to, it's not too matchy-matchy, but it's appropriate matchy-matchy.
It's appropriate. Yeah. Who would have thought that I'd be the one with fish?
Who would have thought?
Yeah. And people would be like, why'd you get carp? And I'd be like, well, once my brother knew a girl and she like, she fell in the water, landed on some carp, couldn't find her, talked about it on the pop 15 years later. So I think you get it.
Did I mention he cannot remember this girl's name? Because that's a vital part of the story.
Huge part of the story.
I'm actually trying to help him find this person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I would probably need a cooler animal than carp if I'm going full back tat.
But. Sometimes carp, especially koi, can make very interesting tattoos, though.
Koi. That's
you know, true. So koi is the type of carp, sort of.
Right.
Kinda, yeah, in the same category, at least.
Maybe I can go, like, Magikarp or something.
Ooh,
go
that Pokemon. Would be very fitting
maybe
for you.
We can just go full Gyarados.
Here's the thing. We talked about this at the beginning. I haven't had my life fully dedicated to ideas, but I feel like the things that you've had your life dedicated to, you've liked since you were a little kid.
Well, that's true.
You don't outgrow anything.
Well, maybe not.
It's kind of amazing, actually. So maybe we have something there. Maybe it's a string we can pull on.
Maybe. Like a big fandom collage on my back or something.
Yeah. In all color. Donate your back to someone who's trying to get into it. I hear it's a great way to get a good deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Free.
There you go. All right, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. Again, if you want to go and check out our current special offer that we have over at patreon.com/popcornculture, you can get yourself a person card by signing up at any of the three available tiers, all of which are the same dollar amount. Basically, just casting your vote as to who is the one true host of Popcorn Culture. It's supposed to be
Jazzy J.
Otherwise, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. And a special thank you to these patrons who now support us over on Patreon, including Pork, Amanda Hobson, Loro Sandalvo, Catherine Galong, Cameron Principata, Trenton Perote, Dylan Collins, Alexander Kelly, Josh Davies, Sierra Vigil Trujillo, Reese Hopper, Bards in the Basement, and Ben Myers. Thank you guys so much for your support on Patreon. But otherwise, guys, until next week,
pop, pop.